glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting up praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my life. God is good, amen. He is so great. He is awesome. He is so good. If someone can please get the podium for me, please, the white. This is where those great people stand that have titles. I'm just Brother Cornelius. So I like to be with one of the people here. All week long, I begin to struggle with the message for today. I thought I would have something, and it would change. I would study some more, thought I had something, and it would change again. So many times, this message began to change over and over, and it seemed like that I wasn't getting clarity of understanding. I don't know if anyone has ever felt like that, but not being able to have it confidently of what you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to say. Having a little bit of questions that's wrestling in my mind. But I believe that we all did this morning, that we looked into the mirror today. And when we looked into the mirror, we saw something. Some of us saw how good looking we are. Some of us saw that we need to fix some things up, Brother Eric. Some of us saw that we need to get ourselves together before we come here. Some of us saw a couple of things that we were looking into the mirror, but some of us sometimes struggle when we look inside the mirror because we see something that we wish that we can change. That we look into the mirror and we beholding something and we see it and we hope and wish that what can we do to change the image that we see. There's a struggling that is happening. Now some of the struggles are the images that we see in the mirror. Some things we can do about, Sister Tina. Some of them things that what we are struggling with, we can do some things about. If you're a big person, stop eating so much, you'll get skinny. If you're too skinny and you want to change the image that's in there, go hit the weights. Eat a little bit more, you'll get some muscles. There's some things that we can change. There's some things that the earth has placed in it that we can change. If your teeth has fallen out, you can get some dentures and put them in. Some things that you can change. But something that is deep within, a struggle that is within, only God can change that. Oh, my God. There's some things that we see that only God can change. I have no notes. But if we can just look at the person that had a problem and struggling in their mind, open up your Bible to Genesis. 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 Genesis 32. Lord, help me. I need someone to pray for me. Baby, you praying for me? Genesis 32. Now, remember what we're saying. There is a struggle. Some of us have an identity crisis that we wish that we can change and seeing what we can do about it. Genesis 32 and 24. We know this passage of scripture. We've read it so many times. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he says, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he says unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he says, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he says, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. If I have to title, if it comes to mind, I am much more than what you think. I am so much more than what you think. Remember that we all looked inside of the mirror and we begin to question ourselves when we look at ourselves in there. And we know that we have a struggle that is inside of us every time that we look in the mirror, wishing that we can change something about us, something that happened to us, something that occurred, something we wish that it would not have happened or we can change it. But I'm here to let you know that you are much more than what you think. You are so much more than what you think. Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God declares that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if we look at this, the heaven and the earth in the perfect plan of God in the beginning was to have two identities. The earth had its own identity, and the heaven had its own identity, but they were supposed to commingle and work together for God's glory. The heaven denotes the glory of God. The earth denotes the manifestation of God. There can never be no glory if there's no manifestations. And if there's no manifestations, there was no glory that being present. But what links the two together is revelation. We've been saying that today, so I've been keeping up. I'm getting keywords that Jesus is trying to help me today. Of revelation. Now, what happens is this. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Now, this is understanding. This is what makes me confused in my mind. How can God create something in verse 1 and then it changes itself in verse 2? Some theologian states it says, well, they was backtracking, thinking that, okay, he's going to create it. Now he's going to create something that is not even there. No, no, no. The Bible denotes that God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Something came and separated the glory and the manifestation. The revelation then now was blocked because the glory and the revelation, or the glory and the manifestation, was broken because Satan entered into the realm. When we see what we want, what God wants us to do in our lives, that God called us for a greater purpose, that while we're here on the earth, whenever the enemy comes into the mind of the God's people and to separate and bring the breaking of the revelation of who he is and who we are, there's always will be a void as in the people's life. He comes to wrap around, or he comes to remove the revelation of God from you. But I'm here, I told you. I'm here to let you know you're greater. You're greater. It's more than you than what you ever expected. The enemy understands that. So he wants you to, he wants us to be blocking or darkening about what is happening. If we ever want to get to know God and the revelation of who he is, we got to go to him. Not run from him. We got to now separate everything that we try to hinder us from the revelation of God. That is the key of everything. My identity is wrapped inside of him. If I view myself from the identity from you, you may see some things that are true. What I mean by that? I might have done some things years ago, and you can say, you did this, so that declares you. If I see myself through you, from your revelation of what you see me, it could be correct, but it ain't truth. even to the self, even if I look into myself, when I'm looking in that mirror and I say, Cornelius, I'm seeing you in there. You oh foul on how wretched you are. That ain't even a true statement if I'm viewing it from God's perspective. We're supposed to view ourselves and to look from ourselves from the perspective of God. That's the true understanding and revelation of who we are through the manifestations of glory. Scripture denotes this. The Bible says that when King Hezekiah died, Isaiah saw something. He said that he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw the seraphim saying some different things and denoting how holy, holy, and holy he is, right? But he only could see that because he came into connection with God. When he didn't come in connection with God, he only saw God in a limited way. Therefore, he saw himself in a limited way. But when he began to see God high and lifted up, he began to see himself differently because he saw God differently. He didn't denote that he says God is holy. The angels was declaring that. But then he saw something because of the denotation of what the angel said. And he began to now come into understanding of who God is because he comes in a close contact or proximity with God. That's only how he can do it. He saw God differently because of the closeness or the barriers was now moved, and he can see God a little bit more. And by seeing God, he saw himself. Now let's look at scripture. Jacob, all of his life, he was struggling and battling. All of his life, when he was in his mother's womb, he was struggling and battling. Throughout time, he struggled and battled with his identity, wishing that he could change, wishing that he could make some corrections in his life. And because he took on the opinion of others that formulate who he was in that present day or that time. When he was in his mother's womb, if I preached, you know, years ago, God said that it was destiny inside the mother's belly. And then when he came out, he grabbed the heel of his brother, and now he was identified for all of his life as a heel catcher. For all of his life, every time they said, Jacob, you were a deceiver. You were a trickster. Every time they said his name. So can you imagine him growing up as an infant? Every time they say it, they always denotes him or signifies him as saying, you're a trickster, you grabbed your brother, you grabbed your brother, you grabbed this, you're doing this, you're going after. That begins to mess up his mind. It causes a self-image about him to be warped. That's why when you look into the image of that mirror, we wishing that we can change something because there's a struggle that is inside. So everything that Jacob tried to do, he wanted to try to change it, but the battle was inside, so he began to walk out in the image of what was saying in his name. He started walking out in the image of his name, deceiving his brother over and over again, going with his mother to do a deception to the father over and over again because he agreed with the mindset or the view lenses of someone else. So when his mother said, let's do this, let's go ahead and do this. Yeah, yeah, I know the hand of God was on it, as we can see later in scripture, but he agreed upon the division or the deceit of those who were around him. He saw himself through the lenses of someone else, not through the lens of God. We get to the point that now he moves. For years and years, he struggles with his identity. For years and years, he struggled with who he is. He wrestled within himself. Now by wrestling, we get to the point that God, this is interesting. In the struggle of his all, God is still yet faithful. Whatever that you're going through, God is still yet faithful. Whatever that you're dealing with, God is still yet faithful. He said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever that you're dealing with, God is still yet faithful. And in it all, that when he was going through it, God was still yet present. He still yet gave him understanding and still gave him comfort for being there. I'm here to let you know you're not alone. You're not alone in this struggle. You're not alone in this struggle. You have a tag team partner. Just like in wrestling back in the day, you have a tag team. You're not wrestling by yourself. You're not in this all by yourself. When it seems like it gets too much for you, tag in the next opponent. Tag in your partner to help you along the way. That will help you, strengthen you in this time. God came to Jacob and said, look, I promise the blessings of Abraham is on you. God, how can that be? I'm a trickster. How can that be? I'm a deceiver. No. Because how I look at you, Jacob, is not how you see yourself. I don't look at the past you. I look at the future you. Remember the lenses. We see ourselves through the lenses of now and the lens of the past. Every time that we look in the image, if we don't see it correctly through God's vision, we see ourselves from the past and the present. And sometimes our presents are not good. Like I said, we wish that we can change some things. It's a struggle. But God always looks at us from where we're going to be. He sees us in the fullness of who we are in him. But we struggle with that because now there's a gap between who I am, who am I supposed to be. There's a gap in between. How can I be that person that God called me to be when I see all these things present in my life? I see all these things that go contrary to what God has said about me. He said, I see that I'm broke, that I'm busted and disgusted. I see the things that's happening. So I begin to mask them in my everyday life. I've learned because I saw the shortcomings in my life. I learned how to put on a mask that I can function every day. But yet in the back of my mind, I'm still yet struggling. I'm still yet going through these things. But what happens is that we need to now remove the mask off. We can't do this. We got to allow God to come in and have a connection with him to bring what is from manifestations and glory together through revelation. So Jacob comes to me. That now the promises of God comes and he says, you're going to now take you back into, and I'm going to be with you. And Jacob says, okay, I'm going to do this. But yet, before he can ever move into promise, he got to deal with his past. Stay right there. So many of us are trying to go for God, but yet our past is still holding us. It's hard to go forward when you have resistance still holding you back. It's hard if we're just honest today. We want to. We have some days that it seems like I'm good. I got this together. I understand who I am in him. I'm walking strong and tall. But then something happened that is a reminder of our past that holds us and pulls us back down. It reminds us of the struggle that yet we have. We want to be free, but we still yet bound. We want to walk in liberty, but we still have shackles upon us. Feet, because we're struggling with the identity of who we are. We have an identity crisis. We want to be free. We want to walk in the newness of who God called us, but we still yet remember the past that affects our present, that keeps our future so far away. So what we do with the mask that we wear, we start to do things on our own. And we see some success in what we are doing every day. It's so quiet in here. I think people are listening. So we go through and we hit our head over and over and over again. But then we learn how to mask and use our own strength to go through. Yes, we do. We learn by mistake that God didn't come through strong yet, but I have some ability, so I'll work it myself. And then because I've been saved for so long, I'll give him credence. God did this. God showed himself. But God didn't tell you to do this or that. You just thought it was okay, and you just knew that it would just benefit you, so you give him glory enough because you say, well, I got to acknowledge him in all my ways. So I've learned how to do such a thing. That's what Jacob did in his life. Remember, he's a trickster. He wanted everything on his own terms. Now, true enough, some things that happen in life that becomes unfair. Yes, life ain't fair. Life ain't fair. God never said life would be easy. He said he's easy. And take upon his yoke, because his burden is life, not life within itself. You got to learn to stand strong in this walk of life. But you can yet only do it through the help of God. He, unto him, is able to keep us from falling. But we got to hook up with our tag team partner to give us strength along the way. So Jacob goes into the point. He's with his father-in-law. Yes, Jacob is being deceived. Yes, it's not fair for Jacob what his father-in-law is doing to him. Yes, we understand that in scripture. But Jacob still used and go back to what helped him to get those things to say, well, I'm going to still do some things under the guidance of God. But yet God did not tell him to do many things. But then God tells him to go back because now it's time for the blessings of God to be in your life. He now sets Jacob up to have an encounter with destiny. Every time that you look in the mirror, you should say, destiny is there. Every time that you look in the mirror, say, destiny is right there. Destiny, my destiny is hooked up because of God. Every time that you look in the mirror, destiny. But before that we can ever walk in promise, we gotta deal with the past. The past is hard to deal with. The past is hard. It is. Some of us was treated wrong when we were a kid. You don't think that shaped our mind when someone defiled us when we were younger? That's a past experience that shapes us now. That hurts us. We wish that we could have changed that. That helps formulate the incorrect thought process that's in our minds. Some of us, our fathers wasn't there to help shape and mold us. You don't think that affects us? Our today? That past experience that we try to do to make us, to help us along the way, we put on different masks to shield so that no one would know that is around us, that encountered us, that we can try to live day to day. That's a struggle that is inside of us. It's a struggling inside. But we learn through psychology, we learn through education, that we learn through Dr. Phil. I can try to mask it and try to deal with some things, but only God. Remember, we can change some things, but only God can go to the rooter, to the tutor, to bring it all out, to take it unto him. So we have these past experiences. He gets to this point that now Jacob is about to meet his brother. Before he can go in destiny, he remembered the words of Esau. His brother Esau said, when I see you again, you're going to die. Gangster man is about to come out. Because what you did to me, because you deceived me, Jacob, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die. When we look at scripture, we can kind of side with Esau a little bit. I mean, if we're honest about it, we can side with Esau. You tricked me, man. You tricked me. You took and you capitalized on my vulnerability. Oh, my God, women. Men are out there looking and trying to predator on your vulnerability. They'll say what is good and nice to you to get what he wants. Oh, be careful with that person. Be careful. They try to look to see where you have gaps, where you have flaws and holes that they can come to wrap themselves to take from you. Men, it's the same way. Watch that strange woman that's out there. That try to maximize on you. You have strength inside. They want to rob you of your youth. Be careful because of the vulnerability. We can side with Esau. We can side with Esau. You took my stuff. You dressed yourself. You camouflaged yourself because you wanted to be me. You wanted to be me as the adult or as the older brother. You wanted to be me. You remember in the Five Heartbeats when Eddie King was like, "You wanna be me." Remember that? Jacob wanted to be Esau so bad. We can side with Esau. We have some type of sensitivity because of that. Like, dog, if we didn't know all of the scripture, because we can look at the whole role, but looking at just from Esau what he saw, we can agree with Esau. Man, I'm with you, Esau. When we find Jacob, we're going to take him. Mm-hmm. Because he capitalized on our vulnerability. He capitalized on the areas that we were not strong and made hold in. Mm-hmm. But remember, our past. We can never go forward without dealing with that past. Can never go into the man of the glory of God until we deal with those hindrances that we have. So now we get to Esau. He's about to go over to promise. He's about to go over to what God has said, that I will be the God of Abraham and God of Isaac. And Jacob, I'm going to be your God too. I will not leave you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm your God. But remember, Jacob does something. Let's look at Genesis. Jacob gets to the point now. He says this in verse 17. No. He go to 13. And he lodged there the same night and took of that which came by hand and presented it for Esau, his brother. He gives his brother all of this stuff because he's afraid. He's giving him all of his stuff because he's afraid. Now hear me. God never told Jacob to do that. He never thought. Remember, he took it upon himself because he thought that he was going to do this. He thought that he was going to make it right. He thought he was. Because of the revelation that he had for God, he didn't have it no much, so it dimmed who he was in his present time. He began to work it out. Remember I said he put on the mask. He's working these problems out on his own. God don't want us to work it all by ourselves. He gave us the Holy Ghost. He said that I will be a help unto you. But Jacob didn't want to take what God had to say. So he began to say, okay, give him all this stuff. Give him this stuff. 200 lambs. Give him all of this stuff because I'm hoping that he won't kill me. That he won't do bodily harm to me. That's another thing. How can God says, you gonna do it, and then you say, I'm gonna die? That's contradictory. He said that you're gonna have the business, but you say, well, how? I can't, God, because of my situation. So God says, I need you to start up, write up a plan. You say, no, I'm going to this person to see what I can get from this person to benefit what I want to do in God. Remember, that's wrong. That's wrong. God didn't ever said we had to do this. If God tells us how to do it, let's follow his guidelines and plan. True enough, there's wisdom, but true enough, we got to follow the plan of God. But we get to the point when I begin to see this. In verse 21. And he went and presented over before him himself lodged in the night in company. And he arose up in night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed them over the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent them with all that he had. Now what happens? He's trying to do everything to appease his brother so he won't die. But now he gets to the point and says, you know what? If he does come to kill me, I need to separate because of my past sins won't affect the other destiny, that I have before me. So you go this way, you go this way, family, and I'm going to be here left alone. He gets to the point that he's in Jabbath. Jabbath means that it is an emptying that happens. Jacob now, he gets rid of his things and he's left by himself. Now he got to get rid of some things of mindsets that he have inside of his mind up concerning himself. He's in the land of Jabbath, and that means emptying. It's an emptying that happening, a pouring out. Because before that we can ever go into destiny, there has to be those images and those things that happened from the past. We got to begin to release them and let them go. Because if we don't let them go, we're going to stay stagnant in the things of God. So Jacob goes through of releasing certain things. Now he gets to the point that he says, I'm left alone. He says he's left alone. He took away what God said. God says, I'm always with you. But he says, I'm by myself. He's saying things contradictory. Now, because the promises of what God said, it lies within him, he has to intervene. So God within himself comes down and he began to have a wrestling match with Jacob. Jacob is now wrestling with a man that deals with the innerness that is inside of him. The man that came incarnated, we understand that that is the angel or the angel of God, which is Jesus. But he didn't know that to this point. He didn't know. He knew God took flesh at that time. But he struggled within because he was saying, look, I need you to know who you are. Let me come in contact with you to let you know who you are. But he began to struggle inside because he's wrestling with who he was or who he is. But what happens is this. They begin to fight. Now, to me, and when I'm reading scripture, God could have suplexed them so quick, put them in a submission hold so quick. But the Bible said they wrestled all night long. That lets us know the extent that what he had in his mind took him from years and years and years. A mindset that he had, it formulated inside of him. It was so deep rooted inside of him. God had to deal with the pouring out of inside of him. Oh, we got some things inside of us that only God can move. Only God can get rid of those things if we let them. But Jacob didn't want to let them things go. He was like, I saw my identity. I got blessed because of those things. I got all of this stuff because I did it on my own. I can't let it go, but I need to let it go. I can't let it go, but I need to let it go. It's a struggling that is inside. So, we get to the point that Jacob's mindset is a battle of the mind. What God say and what man say. That's the battle right now. What God say and what man say. That's the battle right now. The world says, you ain't gonna make it. Because of your past, you are an at-risk kid. You are a problem child. All of your family members have went to jail. We just gonna wait it out to see it gonna happen to you. That's what your mind says because you saw the images year after year. But God says, I have called you for a greater purpose. There's two mindsets. But who's going to win? It all depends on who you link yourself to. It's your tag team partner. Mm-hmm. So we get to this point that Jacob don't want to let it go. He don't want to let go his past. He do, but he don't. Now, if we can't, if Jacob does not, God has to intervene. So they're wrestling. My buddy's asleep. Mark, can I use you? Can I use you? Awesome. Come on, Mark. All right. gonna stand right here. You gonna help me preach? Help me preach? He's like, I ain't helping you preach. Promise you. I need you, bro. Can you help me out and preach? Because you one of the biggest muscular mans in here. Can you help me preach? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can you just go back a little bit? Can you stand right behind him, please? Mark denotes Jacob. Pedro is Jacob's mindset. Come on, I know you see this now. As we look at Jacob, is here. But if we go through the elements of his mind, we see this big, gigantic of a man. A mindset that has happened. So when we view him, we should say, it should be easy to conquer Mark. Because look at him. Look at the size that he is. But because he had years upon years upon years. You can smile, buddy. You can smile. Upon years of his past, his mindset grew. But the thing about it is, can you put your hand around him? Hold him tight. I'm God. I'm not God, but I say, Mark, come here. I got something in store for you. Please walk to me, Mark. 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 Oh, Lord, he's not helping me preach. I need somebody to help me preach. Please come here. Please. Mark, it's okay. I know, man. We buddies, man. I know it was rough being up here. I'm sorry. Thanks, bud. Okay, let me walk you back to your seat. Praise God forevermore. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. God is still yet good. Jacob. Jacob, let me recap. Jacob's mindset have grown to this hunk of a man. God is keep trying to tell him to come here. Jacob, come to me. But he can't come because his mindset is keeping him trapped and bound in that same position. So God says, come to me, Jacob. You have destiny. You have call inside of you. I have promised you some things. Come to me. Come, Jacob. But his mindset is still yet keeping him there. He can't move from this spot as long as this mindset is here. He can't do it. So really what happened in Scripture, when the angel came, he didn't fight Jacob. He fought the mindset that was there. I just saw that. So he's there. Oh, yeah, help me now. He's there. He's trying to bid him to come. But when he saw that Jacob, promised of destiny, could not, the angel had to intervene. So he gets to Jacob. Remember, tag team partners. This time, Jacob is tag team with this mindset. But God needs Jacob to match with him. So we get to the point that says, Jacob, this is my holy imagination. Jacob, I'm here because you thought that you were left alone. You thought that you was in this place that you got to continue wearing a mask. You thought that you were here, that I left you. But I'm here to let you know, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. So he takes Jacob. Stand right there, Jacob. And he deals toe to toe with the mindset. Not so fight. So he deals with the mindset. Now this is a strong cat. wouldn't dare go against this guy. But the angel of God said, I'm going to take him. As long as Jacob holds on to him, as long as Jacob is holding on to him, the fight is going to be strong. This is why the angel of God, they were going and wrestling all night. Because as long as Jacob got a hold on him, I got to work hard.
Get my towel. Can you throw that towel right there, please?
So we get to the point that now, I'm going to switch because I want you to get your clothes dirty. It's okay with me. He's the angel. As they wrestling, Jacob is on the ground with the angel. And they're fighting. They're fighting. And Jacob's mindset is winning. So God has to do something spiritually to get the upper hand. What does the Bible says that God does? He touched the thigh of Jacob. What does that mean? I want you to get your clothes dirty. I can get mine dirty. When Jacob was on the ground because of the intervention of God, every time Jacob tried to get up on his thigh, the base was low. Help me, Holy Spirit. Every time he tried to take the mindset, his stability was weakened. He could not take or stand upon his own principles. He had to stand on the promises of God. So every time that he tries to get up because God touched his stability force, he can't stand in surety. He can't. Everything that he holds true from before of his past is a reminder that God intervened on his behalf. So he can't stand. But now what happens? He removes this mindset. And now because his knee is out, his thigh is out, God can now hold him up. He's holding him. Thank you, my elder. He holds them because the reminder of the thigh. As long as we're standing on our own, we can't stand for God. As long as we're standing on our own strength, we can't stand on the promises of God. We got to allow God to remove the dark shadow of our past. Give him praise, give him praise. It gets to the point that Jacob says, because I'm standing, I don't know this feeling right now, God. You have crushed every mindset that I have. You have destroyed every valid question or answer that I had in my mind from my past. You destroyed that because you destroyed the joint in my leg because I can't stand any longer. So Jacob says, God, or angel, or man, what is your name? What is your name? Because remember, old scripture, Old Testament, names are important. It lets you know the character of that individual. So DeAndre, if we look up your name and say, what does a DeAndre name mean? When they called you DeAndre, you should be able to say, DeAndre means strong, strength, bold. You can't say DeAndre means sissy, punk. No. We can't say that. We must denote of what your name and your characteristic is. So you should say, I'm strong. I'm a man of strength, a man of courage. That's what I mean. Because of your name, you should now follow through of who you really are. All this time, Jacob been going through an identity crisis, following that he is somebody else. But the angel couldn't tell him his name because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time. But he tells him, as long as you know that I'm here and that I touched your thigh, I'm going to give you a picture of who you are. Because you know who you are, through me, I'm going to let you know this, young lady. I'm going to give you a different name. Your name is no longer going to be Jacob. No longer. You will partner up with that past person. But your name shall be called Israel. You are Israel. What does Israel mean? Yes, it means prince. That means that denotes your relationship to the king. Mm-hmm. But yet it also means one that contend with God. What does that mean? One that contend with God. The mindset was contending against God. But because Jacob said, you know what, let me let this mindset go, because Jacob has the right to hold on to that mindset, but he has the right to let it go. So now he says, because I know you helped me spiritually, but I let it go, but I was holding on with it, I don't want to contend with the mindset anymore. I'm going to let you contend for me, God. I'm going to stand in a place to let you fight all of my battles. Mm-hmm. Prince means you gonna do it. The king will do it. All I can do is sit back and rejoice in what he's going to do. That he changed and transformed me, it's okay. Now we get to the point that we allow God to take us through. We allow God to empty out our mindset. We allow God to transform us. And we allow God to take us. And the next time, if we see ourselves in the mirror, that's with Jesus, we won't see ourselves. We're going to see him. How many people want to see him? Clap your hands, please. And stand to your feet. As I told you before, battling with the mindset, it's not easy. It's not easy. Dealing with the hurts of yesterday, it's not easy to let go. And if we're honest with ourselves, those type of things that happen to us, directly or indirectly, on our own will or by the wills of someone else, it does affect us. It does. Things that happen from the past, I'll be foolish to just say, all you have to do is just let it go. Just cast. The Bible does say, cast your cares upon him. But it's kind of hard if that burden is so heavy for me to cast. Yes. If my burden that I have is the weight of this towel, I can't cast it to Jesus. I can throw it away. But the decisions and the things, like I said, that happen directly or indirectly by our own, from our past, if they're much bigger than us, much stronger than us, it's hard for us to throw it to him. So hard. But that's when Jesus intervenes and he says, I can help you. when we ask the Holy Spirit to come in, because he's so much stronger, so much bigger, so much better. He helps us to cast it to the Father. I know. We all have a past. But greater than that, we all have a future. Because old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. But we still have the residue of the past along us. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. Sometimes we have the residue of our past still haunting us. But all we gotta do is let it go and give it to him, the author and finisher of our faith. You might be here and you say, Brother Corn, I still have it on me. I want to let it go. But the ghost is still behind me. That phantom is still yet there. That shadow of darkness is still yet lurking. I want to give it to him. I want to be able to look in the image of the mirror and not see the image of my past, but the image of my destiny. We want to pray with you.